Just read those two verses in Joshua 24. Joshua was kind of reviewing the Israelites' journey. He was reminding them of some of their victories and some of their trials in their past. And he said, you still have a decision to make. You still have that word, if it seem evil, that word seem, how does it seem to you? And first he reviewed their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He talked about the plagues in Egypt before God delivered them from Egypt. And he talked about the different things that they had been through. We talked about the weather in the last week. I can't imagine the river turning to blood or frogs or lice or flies or boils or hail, all the things that happened to them. They went through the wilderness with Moses. They followed after Joshua in battle. And God had used Joshua to lead them, and he was still, at the end of his life, calling them to a point of decision. Joshua 24:15. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. And then he reviews for them. He said, we've seen other options. You have other choices of other gods, little g, quote, little g gods that you could serve of the people that we've conquered, the people that you left in Egypt. You have a choice. How does it seem? What does it seem to you? And then he answers his own question. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't know about you. A lot of testimonies tonight kind of reminded me of the complications in life, things that once were easy, like standing up and walking across a room or going to grab a board or going to grab a tool and accomplish a job. Things seem harder and more complicated, and we feel more tired maybe than we used to be. I remember when we just had one kid, it wasn't that big of a deal to pack up and leave for a couple days or pack up and go out to eat or go to the park. And so now we'll probably talk about three different things before we finally settle on what's going to be the least amount of packing and the least amount of trouble to get all these kids contained and get them where we want to go. And a lot of life is that way. Life gets more complicated, and you come back to that decision again. Do you really want to do this? Is this still something that you want to do? And that's what Joshua was saying. We've come this far. Stop, turn around, and look back, and then make a decision. He might have reminded them of the day that it talks about in chapter 10 of Joshua, where they were fighting in battle, and the Bible says that God sent hail from the sky that wiped out their enemies, and then Joshua asked the sun to stand still, and the moon stayed, and the sun stood still. And the Bible says there was no day like that before it or after it. And the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So we talked about some of those good days, some of those the most trying days, but also where God comes through. And God did something miraculous that he had never done before and he wasn't going to do again. And Joshua reminded them, and then he said, choose you this day whom ye will serve. I just took that little phrase, choose you this day whom ye will serve. And I split them up to make my points tonight. The first words he said are, choose you. And it's been mentioned tonight already in the testimonies. He made it personal. Choose you. Paul, when he was still Saul on the road to Damascus, God blinded him. And when he finally realized who he was talking to, he said, what shall I do, Lord? He said, this is personal. You obviously have zeroed in on me. You have something that you want me to do, and what is it? What shall I do? He made it personal. Samuel, in 1 Samuel 3, he heard a voice, and Eli said, next time you hear that, say, speak, for thy servant heareth. Samuel said, that's personal. I don't think you're talking to anybody else. I'm the only one here, and you must be talking to me, so what? It's personal to me. What do you want me to do? We're talking about in Sunday school, but Esther was told by Mordecai, who knoweth whether, this is a spoiler, but some of the teens, I heard Pastor did the same thing though. He said, here's what happens at the end of the story. But we were talking to the teens and they said, well, don't tell us how it ends. But we know that Mordecai said to Esther, thou who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. He said, you, specifically you. God has a will that he wants you to do. Choose you. It's this personal. It's not in the collective, all of you all. It's choose you. That was the first point. Don't make it personal. Do it on purpose. Make it a personal calling that God has for you. Choose you this day. This day, make it today's priority. When Jesus called the disciples, when he called Simon and Andrew, they were already doing something. They were fishing. And Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And the Bible says, next verse, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. And immediately they were following Jesus. That was Peter and Andrew, James and John. They were fishing with their dad. And the Bible says immediately they left their ship and their father and followed him. There was something immediate that Jesus was calling them to do. It was this day. It was this day. Some of us are more, we read those stories, but some of us are more like Jonah. And I'm ashamed to say we're all this way, but God said to Jonah, arise and go. And he got up and he went the other way. He went the other direction. He said, I acknowledge that today is the day and I know what you want me to do, but I'm going to go do something else. So he heard the call. He knew it was personal to him, but he chose to do something different that day until God got his attention and brought him back to where he needed to be. I talked about it this morning, that those that were closest to Jesus, those that were in the smaller number, those were the closest to him, that followed him right away when he said, it's time to go. It's time to go into the garden. It's time to go heal somebody. It's time to go bring Lazarus back from the dead. Those that were closest to him got to see every miracle. They got to see people healed. They got to see people forgiven. They got to see people's lives changed. And it was all because straightway or immediately or this day that they followed and they listened and they knew it was personal to them. So for choose you, what opportunities do we miss when we fail to make that choice? And then for this day, what miracles do we not get to witness? What life changes do we not see when we don't go immediately? I know in my own life, there's been plenty of times where I thought, well, I'm glad I was on time, because if I hadn't been on time or a little bit early, I would have missed all the excitement. And there's sometimes when you show up a little bit too late, and it's kind of like you go to I've never been to a boxing fight, but when the guy gets knocked out in the first 3 seconds, and you were at the concession stand, and you get to your seat, and everybody's already done, it's already over. When God calls us, he says, hey, be there at this time, I got something I want you to see. And how many times in life you think, what would have been different if I hadn't been in that place when I was called to be there? Choose you, make it a priority, make it personal. This day, make it a priority that it's now, and go immediately. Choose you this day whom ye. Again, it talks about the one that they choose to serve. That object, the object of their service. Make it possessive. If it's personal that you choose, make it your possession who you serve. Joshua said, I'll just tell you, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And he said, I'm going to speak for myself. I'm going to speak for those that follow my example. I'm going to speak for those that I'm accountable to. And we're going to serve the Lord. But he said, whom ye, choose you this day, whom ye. Make it possessive. Say, he's mine. Daniel, after the king and his thugs or whoever you want to say, all the guys that got together with the king, and they said, nobody can pray except to the king. Daniel did what he did before. He went to his house. He opened his windows. And he said, I'm going to do exactly what I did before. I'm going to pray to God. He knelt and prayed three times. I underlined in my notes. He opened the windows. Now, some of us, I've heard this before, if we should always pray before we eat a meal. But sometimes, if you're at a restaurant, some people have this thing where they just cough, bless the food, amen. You know, and they cover it up. They hide. They close the windows. I won't say I've ever done that. Arnie likes to pray, and he does not have volume control. And he'll always say, good Jesus. We say, dear Jesus. But he'll just say, good Jesus, bless the food. You know, and he says it at the same volume no matter where we are. So you learn to just accept it. And that's the way it should be for all of us. We should open the windows and say, hey, this is the way I've always prayed. And it doesn't matter if I'm next to somebody important or if I'm home by myself. It doesn't matter if the king says I can't do it. God's more important than the king. I'm going to open the windows and I'm going to pray. The three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they stood before the king, he gave them more than one chance. I built this thing. I want you to bow down to it when you hear the music play. And he gave them more than one chance. He said, you know what the punishment is? You're going to burn in the fiery furnace. And they said, no, it's possessive. They said, our God, whom we serve. They didn't say, well, you know, we of this faith, we happen to believe this. No, they said, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. They didn't say, now, hypothetically, we think that if everything works out, and you know, if God's the thing that we believe he is, then he'll come through for people that believe the way that we believe. No, they made it very personal. They said, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. And my favorite part of the whole story is they said, but if not, they said, well, even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow before your gods. We're not going to worship that image. I believe that God's going to come through. But even if he doesn't, he's still our God, and he must have a will. If he wants us to die in the fiery furnace, We'd still rather die serving the true God than live and throw away what we believe. And the same thing should be true for us. I like the, and if not, you know, if everything goes great, I'm serving God. If everything goes terrible, it really doesn't make a difference. And that's the way we should pray. That's the way we should live our lives, the way we should serve God. Whom ye, he's our God. The Bible says when Hannah prayed for Samuel, she said, when God answered her prayer, she said, there is none holy as the Lord, there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. David, when he was delivered from his enemies and delivered from when he was being pursued by Saul, he said, who is God save the Lord, and who is a rock save our God? He made it possessive. He said, it's not just all of ours, it's mine, it's our God. Nehemiah, when he was building the wall, he said, our God shall fight for us. Isaiah said, the word of our God shall stand forever. Again, these are all personal people that had a will that God wanted them to do. And they said, it's only going to work if he's our God. It's only going to survive if he's our God. We're only going to be protected if he's our God. Hebrews said, our God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. That's the way that God wants it. He wants us to say, we serve our God. It's us, it's personal, and it's possessive. He's ours, and we are his. And Jeremiah, the Lord said, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. And again, we don't know the things that we need until God gives it to us. We talked about it, again, in Sunday school. We were talking to teenagers, talking about all the decisions in life that get you to the place to where you look back and say, how, in the good sense, how did I end up here? How did things work out so well? And all the little decisions, all the places where God had to intervene in your life to put you in the place where you can say, I'm blessed beyond measure. Before great and mighty things that I knew not. I had no idea what was coming, but look what God had prepared for me. And what blessings, what promises do we leave unclaimed, but not even identified? We don't even know they're there when we don't call upon God, when we don't say, he's our God. Choose you this day whom ye, whom is our God. And then the last two words, will serve. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Make it purposeful. The Bible says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. That's in Psalms, in Psalm 2. And then Psalm 100, verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. We're supposed to serve in fear and rejoice with trembling. Those kind of sound like paradoxical things, two things that don't really go together. But because we fear God, we can serve him. And because we can tremble before him, we can also rejoice. Because we know he's on our side if we're on his. We know if we're obeying him, he fights for us. The Lord will fight for us. The Bible says in the next verse in Psalm 100, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So choose you this day whom ye will serve. Serve on purpose. That means do it because you plan to do it, and serve with a purpose. Do it to please God. You're doing it not to make others happy, because there'll always be somebody that's displeased, and there'll always be somebody that's happy with you. And if you're working for either of those people and they're not God, you're just as likely to fall into sin. The compliments and the criticisms, if you're trying to earn either one, if you're just trying to make people angry, that's no way to serve God. If you're just trying to make people happy, that's no way to serve God, because you're focused on the people and not on serving God. Serve on purpose and with a purpose to please God. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And even Jesus had a limited amount of time. This day, even Jesus had a time when he had to work the works that God had sent him to do. So, choose you. Make it personal. This day. Make it today's priority. And again, I know, like we talked about, the 12-year-old feeling getting way too old. You know, I'm no one to tell you it's getting more complicated, but do it on purpose. Because if you don't choose you this day, something else will take priority in your life, in reading the Word of God, in our time, in our prayer, talking to God, and telling other people, and the service that we say, you know, this is what I want to do with this next couple hours. Something else will take its spot unless we choose this day. Make it today's priority. Choose you this day whom ye. Make it possessive. Remember the one that we serve. Not ever for ourselves, not ever for others around us outside of the will of God, but only to serve God, to do what he has for us to do. And then those last two words, will serve. Make it on purpose service for God. Again, I was thinking about Brother Darrell. He's sang for us tonight. He has a ministry that not many of us maybe would desire to do, but he has a necessary ministry to people in the prisons that God has laid on his heart to go and minister in that way. We support missionaries that before they can tell the first person on the foreign field, they have to learn another language, they have to learn a different culture, they have to prepare themselves to go and to serve. And again, maybe God is calling somebody here to do one of those things. I realize that not everybody does that, but if they're willing to change their culture and their language to go and serve, then what can we do on purpose? Say, God, I'm willing to do what you want me to do. If that means I have to learn a new skill that I don't have yet, it might be patience. You know, it might be working with kids, like was testified about tonight. It might be learning to work with people that are different than you. It might be humbling ourselves and saying, where am I most needed? Maybe it's not the glamour, but where's the need? Where is the need greatest? And say, I'm going to choose me this day whom I will serve. And I'm going to do it on purpose. So if God's laid something on your heart, if there's something in the past that you've left undone that you want to get back to tonight, we'll have an invitation in just a minute. And remember, Joshua said, as for me and my house, it is a personal decision, but there's always people around you that are watching you and saying, well, I wonder what our family is going to do in this situation. I wonder what our house is going to do. And Joshua said, I'll just come out and say it. Open the windows. We'll do it the way we've always done it. Me and my house will serve the Lord. And that's my prayer for our church, that'll always be the case. So let's pray together, and then we'll have an invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you do spell it out for us. You don't leave it ambiguous. You don't leave it unclear, that you have a purpose and a work for each of us to do. Help us to humble ourselves. Help us to yield to your hand to do exactly what you want us to do each and every day. Thank you for so many examples in this room tonight of those that are willing to serve you in ways that don't stand out. They're not up in front of everybody, but they week after week, day after day, they choose to serve you and to give you their heart and to serve you on purpose. I pray, Lord, that it continue to be the case for our church. Thank you for each one that's an example and a testimony in their lives. I pray, Lord, if there's somebody that hasn't been on purpose serving you, that they humble themselves again and say, Lord, what do you have for me to do this week, this day? I pray you bless the invitation. I pray all that we do would bring honor and glory to you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.